May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, we heard of the death of an orator, writer, and politician, Tony Benn. And plenty of tributes have been paid to him, some very generous and others less so. But there is no doubt that his skill in speech-making kept him in the public eye and promoted discussion on the issues of the moment. His diaries record a commentary on events, meetings, and political activity written from his perspective. The writer of today's gospel reading saw himself as a faithful interpreter of Jesus' words, and as one who represented Jesus' words to a new generation of believers. He loved dialogue, which produced misunderstanding, and then allowed Jesus to make a long explanatory speech. And in today's reading, Jesus initially addressed the question of the inquirer, Nicodemus, but soon focused his teaching on a wider audience. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, who sought Jesus by night. He came both secretively and because he was in the dark through his separation from the presence of God. But he recognized Jesus' authority and addressed him as rabbi. He said, "I know you are a teacher, and I know you have come from God, because no one could perform the miraculous signs you have done if God were not with you." So Nicodemus recognized something very special about Jesus, and he realized that the signs performed by Jesus had to be done in the power of God. Jesus, however, didn't respond directly to Nicodemus's acknowledgement of his authority, but he challenged him with some teaching. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." The Greek word, anathen, meaning born from above, is ambiguous and could also be translated as born again. Nicodemus interpreted it literally as born again and wanted to know how anyone could be born again after having grown old. But Jesus spoke of being born again by water and spirit, which he meant to be by divine cleansing in the messianic age. This was new teaching and difficult for Nicodemus to take in. So Jesus continued, "What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born from above." As Nicodemus grappled with this concept, Jesus added another thought for him to consider. "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Greek word pneuma also had two meanings. It could be read as either wind or spirit. Jesus' offer of new birth was like the wind or spirit. It was a mystery beyond human knowledge. But without the Spirit moving in our lives, we have no means of relating to God. Nicodemus asked Jesus how this could be, and Jesus responded by challenging him again. How can you be a teacher, a Pharisee, and yet you don't understand? We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. And how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things if you don't believe what I've told you about earthly things? Jesus spoke as one who had seen and could testify to what he had seen. He said, "Verily, very truly, I tell you," a phrase often used in the fourth gospel to introduce a new teaching. And it also marked a shift from dialogue with Nicodemus into a monologue in which Jesus now spoke to a wider audience. First, he stated that no one had ascended into heaven except the one who first descended. Jesus spoke of himself as the Son of Man, who was able to move between heaven and earth and to bring both together. Jesus knew heavenly things because he had descended from heaven, and his coming from above distinguished him from other great figures in Scripture, such as Moses. Jesus said that the Son of Man must be lifted up, and whoever believed in him would have eternal life. The writer of John's Gospel understood Christ's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension as one continuous event, and that the humiliation of the cross, the seeming humiliation, was also the exaltation of the cross. Jesus lifting up on the cross made possible eternal life for his believers. Eternal life, which is both here and now. Verse 16 is one of the most famous verses in the New Testament, and also one of the most loved and cherished. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This verse is our hope and God's promise to us, as it clearly states that God gave Jesus to the world because he loves the world. God is the source of love, and he wants to draw all people to himself. But only believers accept that gift of love. The Johannine vision of this is that those who don't accept the gift will perish. So God's gift of his Son is part of the process of judgment of the world. Judgment is underway now, initiated by Jesus coming into the world. And the way a person acts in the presence of the light of Christ is determined by their personal response to Jesus. The theologian Bultmann summed this up thus: "The fourth gospel expresses a radical understanding of Jesus' appearance as the eschatological event. This event puts an end to the old course of the world. As from now on, there are only believers and unbelievers, so that there are also now only saved and lost, those who have life and those who are in death. This is because the event is grounded in the love of God. that love which gives life to faith, but which must become judgment in the face of unbelief. Amen.